You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner back on the pod this week alongside Dave Tindall. And we've got a good week of golf coming up with three events, a couple that are on the European Tour or co-sanctioned, and we've got the Hero World Challenge as well, Tiger's event to look forward to. Dave is joining me on Skype this afternoon, so it's a warm welcome. A good afternoon to you, Dave Tindall.
Hello, David, and welcome back from America.
Yeah, it was. I had a good time in New York, I must admit. It was a wonderful break. But I'm glad to be back because we've got three events this week. We've got a couple that are co-sanctioned on the European Tour. We've got the Hero World Challenge as well. And we've got bets in all three events, Dave.
We have, yeah, one each. So we've spread the net. So we have six bets coming your way.
Last week, you had a little bit of success on the podcast, putting up Sweden to finish in the top 10. That was a confident pick for you, Dave, which landed.
And yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, happy with that. And we had the match as well, in inverted commas, that tussle between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, which was, I suppose, roundly derided on Twitter. I didn't see any of the contest, Dave. Did you catch any of it?
Well, the trash talk was lame. The standard of golf was rubbish. The amount of money being played for was vulgar. But apart from that, I loved it, Dave.
So not a fan. You wouldn't want to see it again?
For me, it wasn't. It didn't do anything for me, but I was quite kind of intrigued by the amount of coverage it did get on Twitter. And there were some who were for it and some against it. So overall, even though I was personally down on it, I did quite enjoy the amount of, you know, sort of talk it generated, which is always good for golf, I think. So it wasn't just, you know, 100% everyone was deriding it. People were talking about it, and maybe, you know, they could tweak it, do it maybe differently again on some level. So it wasn't a complete negative for me.
I heard that the coverage, that there was too much talking in the background and too much studio booth chat rather than listening to what Mickelson and Woods had to say.
I'm not sure Mickelson and Woods had an awful lot to say, to be honest. So, but yeah, that was one fault. I also thought, even though the golf course sort of got rave reviews, it kind of didn't mean anything because I'd never seen it before. I think it might have helped if they'd gone to somewhere familiar. Then you sort of know the shots a bit more.
Yeah.
But an interesting event, but kind of there were things I'd thought were a bit rubbish about it.
Should we get stuck into this week?
Yes.
Let's start. Should we start in Mauritius?
Let's do that, yes.
Yeah, the 9-1 favourite for the Mauritius Open is Dylan Fratelli. Jordan Smith is 14-1. Nicholas Coulthard's 14-1. Romain Langasque is 20-1, along with Victor Perez. Bernd Wiesberger returning this week. He's 25-1 alongside George Kutsaya. Zhongyun Wang, Matthias Schwab, Richard Sterney, Thomas Aitken, all 25s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Every year, Dave, this event comes round, and every year I have to launch Google Maps again to find out just where Mauritius is. It's just east of Madagascar, basically, east of Africa, and it's a popular holiday destination. Not that I've got the money or the inclination to ever visit, Dave, but the course itself isn't exactly spectacular. Maybe it doesn't match the scenery. It's an Ernie Els design and measures 7,401 yards, plays to a par of 72, and it hosted this event when Zhongyun Wang won a couple of years ago in 2016. And the wind played havoc on that occasion, Dave, with only two players managing to record under par totals. Sidika Rauman was the other one, and Wang won with a total of 6 under par.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, the kind of event form we've got in this tournament. Twice it's been played at a different course, the Heritage. which is very different to this one. And the one year we did get at this course, it, you know, how much did the wind, well, it did play a huge factor, but did it really skew results? Would we see kind of a different set of actors in a calm, in calmer conditions? I mean, its location will inevitably mean we do have a fair amount of wind, but looking at the forecast, I don't think there's that much this year, so it should be a more even playing field in that sense.
It does look horrible though, doesn't it, the weather, not from a wind perspective, but
rain.
Yeah, yes. It looks like it's going to rain all 4 days, and thunderstorms are forecast throughout the week as well. Have you got any angles in here in terms of bets?
Well, it's a small sample, but obviously this is a tri-sanctioned event. It's not the best field you're ever going to see by a long, long way. When I looked at the previous winners of the event, Dylan Fratelli, Junhong Wang, and George Coetzee, I thought, well, they're all fairly sort of decent players. So I looked at their world ranking at the time, and Fratelli was 67th, Wang 88th, Coetzee 63rd. So they were all fairly, you know, probably some of the best players in the field, and they were also in form, which is worth noting. Fratelli had come 16th the week before. Wang had actually won the week before when this was held in May. Coetzee had had a top three before his win. That was stroke play. He'd also come tied 17th in the world match play. But all were top 100 players in good form. So I thought, right, that's easy. Then simply look at the top 100 in the world and see how many are playing. And do you know how many are playing, Dave? Just two.
Yeah, and doesn't surprise me.
Yes, and one of those is Fratelli, who is 9-1. But I would probably give you 50 guesses who the other one was, and you wouldn't get him.
Oh, go on.
And he's my pick. So if you want it, should we go straight into
pick? Yeah, go straight into it.
Yeah, so I was going down the list thinking this theory is going to be blown apart by the fact that I'll have to put up a 9-1 shot. And then I got to world number 90 and found the name Justin Harding.
Okay, 40-1.
What do you think? He was world number 90.
I'd have said world 290.
Weird, isn't it? I mean, I am aware he's sort of popped up this year winning some events, but he's a four-time winner this year, Dave, in kind of some of the world's other tours. Won a couple of times in Asia. But it's not just that. He's brought that to him. He was world number 712th, I think, at the start of the year. So four wins. Also made the top 15 in Hong Kong last week. So he's now done it in a co-sanctioned event. And I thought, well, I don't really know an awful lot about him. So I did a bit of research. And apparently this year he's changed his attitude. He was a very talented sort of youngster, but it seems he was a bit of a drinker. So he wasn't exactly giving himself the best chance. He thought he was talented. He could get away with it on the Sunshine Tour, have a few pints between rounds. And he wasn't quite, you know, the immaculate sort of professional that maybe you should be. I think that sort of hit home to him. But now he's sort of cut that out. He's really sort of flown up the world rankings. Yeah. And I think maybe at 40, a little bit ahead of the handicapper, maybe.
I quite like that. Justin Harding at 40-1, Dave's pick. I've gone from a more well-known South African, but further down the world rankings. My guy's just ranked inside the top 300, but is a shorter prize here. So maybe take that world ranking with a pinch of salt, but I'm going Thomas Aitken as my
first
selection. I'm only playing small stakes though here, half a point each way at 25-1. We saw a couple of years ago, I think, in this event, that the way to conquer this course is to keep the ball in play and rely on accuracy rather than power, and that's what Thomas Aitken is all about, really. Obviously not the most reliable in contention, but this is a drop in class, and he's been playing some solid golf recently, having finished 16th at Valderrama, 10th in Turkey, and then 19th last week in Hong Kong. He'll be able to handle the wind if it does blow. He's got two top tens in open championships in the past, and I think he'll really take to this venue. So keeping stakes small, but I'm going with Thomas Aitken at 25-1 as my sole selection in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt. I don't think that we've picked out two South Africans, because two of the three editions have been won by South Africans. And I did Google the flight. It's about 3.5 hours. It's like maybe us flying to the Algarve or something, so it's not far for them at all.
Who else was on your mind in this tournament?
I did think about Nicholas Kolsarts because he's got on a he's attached to the course and plays there quite a lot, but he's 14-1. That does look fairly short. Victor Perez, the Frenchman, is in cracking form of late. Finished the Challenge Tour with a bang and then played really well in Hong Kong last week. He's 20s. I certainly wouldn't touch Bernd Wiesberg at 25s because he's not played for months, has he?
7 months off with that wrist problem.
Yeah, so, you know, if he was a normal Bernd Wiesberger, he would be favourite, wouldn't he, about eights in this field. But maybe we saw it with Joost Lauwtne, who came back from a lengthy break recently. I think you've got to have a bit of a watching brief on these sort of guys. I can't really back him first time up.
There's a couple that I want to mention. Adelson da Silva, who's in the betting at 50-1. Winner on the Asian Tour recently, and he's maintained that form subsequently, and he was 18th at this course a couple of years ago as well, which bodes well. And I thought Ernie Els might play well.
Yes, the course designer.
Yeah, and he's shown glimpses recently in much better company than this Els, and he's 40-1. So I thought those two were worth looking at, 50s and 40s respectively.
Yeah, jolly good.
Should we move on?
Yes, let's go to where we're flying to now, Australia.
Yeah, let's fly to Australia for the PGA Championship, where Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman are 9-2 joint favourites. Harold Varner is 8-1. Adrian Ortegi is 16-1. Lucas Herbert is 16-1. Jason Scrivener 18-1. Cameron Davis 22s. Ryan Fox 22-1, 25-1, and bigger the rest. Just spinning through the betting here. Dave, reminds me that we had the Australian Open a couple of weeks ago. I was absent for that one as well. Your man won, Abraham Anser.
Yeah, no, and I wasn't on.
No, I thought I was so... I was concerned about your well-being, given you hadn't selected him, Dave, because having talked about him throughout the latter stages of last season... Yeah, you know, the last few months on the PGA Tour.
Well, yeah, virtually every other week I've been banging on about him, yeah.
Did you mention him on the podcast?
Do you know what? We didn't even talk about the Australian Open on the podcast. I think it was the same week as Dubai, wasn't it? The season ender?
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah. So we got so sort of involved in that, we forgot about Australia, which, my bad for that. Yeah. You learn your lesson the hard way, Dave.
And it was an incredibly impressive performance, wasn't it, by the Mexican?
Five-shot win, yeah. Excellent performance by him. And we'll have to see what sort of prices he starts going off at back on the PGA Tour, because I don't know what he has to do to stop being sort of 66-1 every week.
I'm sure that's the end of that. let's talk about this PGA Championship in Australia then. The Royal Pines Resort on the Gold Coast in Queensland will host this championship for the sixth time in succession, and Cameron Smith defends the title he won 12 months ago as well. He's alongside Leishman, as mentioned, at the top of the betting. I think short game has been pretty key at this track, which measures just under 7,400 yards and plays to a par of 72. The top end of the market looks very strong to me here, Dave, with as tempted to play Smith each way, but he has been clipped in from around about 11-2, 6-1 to 9-2, and that's enough to put me off. But I do think that Smith, particularly at the top of the betting, is a worthy market leader, strong market leader.
Yeah, often in these Aussie events you do get the best players coming through, so Leishman will have plenty of supporters at 9-1, I would guess. Smith at 10s, as you say. Jason Scrivener played really well in Hong Kong, but you know, we've gotten quite short, haven't we, at 22-1. So yeah, it is a tough top end. We've got five places to play at though, so I've looked a little bit further down.
Which prices were you quoting there? You had Smith at 9-1 and Leishman at 10-1.
The other way around.
You're 9-2, they're both 9-2.
What am I looking at there then?
I want a few quid with Tyndall bookmakers this week.
Yeah, I clicked on the first round leader bet.
There you go.
Yeah. And at those prices, I don't fancy them for first round leader, I have to say.
9-2 Smith and Leishman at the top of the betting to win the tournament. Scrivener, you mentioned in there at 18-1. But you said you'd look further down the leaderboard here, Dave.
Yes, I think there's a few around the 50-1 mark that I quite like. The ones that were near misses was Jordan Zunich, do we say it, at 50s?
I'm going for him.
I'll leave that for you.
In the event.
Yeah, Renato Paratore, who helped Italy to a top six finish in the World Cup at 50s as well. I thought he would be worth a little look as well. Gavin Green, the Malaysian young talent.
Yeah.
I think he's going to win a decent event soon, or maybe a lower key one like this, 50-1. But the one I settled on in the end was Scott Hend.
Okay.
At 50-1. I just think at his best, he's in a bit of a different league to a lot of these. Maybe not the front two, but Hend, we have seen him, you know, win events. He's a two-time European. He's won on the European Tour. He's won the Asian Order of Merit before. In his form had gone a bit wayward of late, but I noticed he came back to form nicely in Hong Kong last week with a top 10, all four rounds in the 60s. So that was back to something like his best. And he does like Royal Pines. He's come 10th and 14th in his two visits here. So I think he must walk with a bit of a strut in his stride in Australia, because he is one of their better players. We know him. We're one of the sort of well-known Aussies on the European Tour. And I thought 50-1 in, you know, it does thin out, doesn't it, the field after the top few names. I thought 50-1 was decent for Scott Hend.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I thought 50-1 was decent for Jordan Zunich as well. I just didn't see much downside, really. He's benefited from a drop in class recently. And after that spell in the doldrums, he returned to the PGA Tour of Australasia with a win in Queensland a few weeks ago. Not much of a surprise to see a slight letdown in the Australian Open subsequently, where he finished 45th. But that win will have definitely given him confidence, and he was close to winning this event last year as well. The good play of Cameron Smith and a few slight miscues from Zunich ultimately ended up costing him the tournament, but he finished second. That was a good effort, and he's also finished ninth in this event on this course 3 years ago as well. So I thought at 50-1, that was a sporting bet, Jordan Zunich.
Yeah, 2 50-1 shots, so I like that.
Go on, give us another couple of names that were close but didn't quite make the cut. You've given a few at 50s there.
I've given a few. I always sort of think that Ryan Fox has got to win something soon, the Kiwi.
Yeah.
I mentioned Scrivener before. Adrian Otegui, a favourite of ours on the podcast. He's obviously a top player, or makings of a very good player, but I think he's shortest with us, isn't he? So we've ducked him. But I think we've covered most of the ones I was looking at.
Yeah, a couple I just want to mention very quickly. Lucas Herbert, who is pretty short at 16-1, but seriously talented. And further down the list, Cameron John is 80-1 this week. He's having a very impressive first full season as a professional, and I was sorely tempted to include him, but having read through reports about Cameron John, I mean, he's showcased a very strong putting game in particular in his first season, but he's played a lot of golf in order to work his way into the top 50 on the Aussie Order of Merit, and he's been playing injured as well. He's got a problem, a bulging disc issue, which is enough to put me off. But his form on the Aussie Tour has been extremely impressive in his first full season. So I think he's one definitely to watch this week, Cameron John, if he is over those injury niggles. He's 80-1, which I thought could be decent, but the injury problems just put me off.
Yes, I think so. One final one at a big price that at his best, it'd seem a huge price here. Austin Connolly, yeah. He's 125s, but obviously he's 125s for a reason, so doesn't really quite make my shortlist.
Okay, final event then. Let's move on to the Hero World Challenge, which I suppose is still the big event this week, even though there are points up for grabs, aren't there now? This is a kind of an official event.
Points, yeah.
Justin Rose heads the betting at 7-1, along with Ricky Fowler. Dustin Johnson 8-1. Justin Thomas and Tiger are both 9-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 10-1. John Rahm is 12-1. Jason Day is 16s, along with Tony Finau, and it's 18-1 and bigger the rest. And I suppose it's Ernie Els week, because we've got another of his designs in operation for the Hero World Challenge, which is Tiger's event. Invitational only, this event as well, features 18 of the world's best players, including Woods. And the players returning to Albany in New Providence Island, which is just east of the Bahamas, for this event. And last year, Dave, Ricky Fowler obliterated the course in round four on Sunday, closing with an 11 under par 61 to win by four. And many people, including myself, expected that to be the catalyst for further wins. But it's not materialised in the last 12 months for Fowler. And he's continued to contend without winning. And the win here last year remains his last success, Dave. So it's not quite gone according to plan for Fowler.
No, I think we said on this very podcast that we both expected him to have a huge year, and it just didn't work out that way. I mean, he's great for putting you in contention. You look down his list of results, he's struggling to find anything worse than 20th, aren't you, really, for so much of it. Yeah. Got a fourth in Las Vegas of late, which was a decent knock. 16th in Mayakoba, you would have thought he'd done a bit better than that. 7th Tour Championship, 8th BMW. I suppose at this event, he'd kind of tipped the wink, hadn't he, with a pair of third places at Albany in the past. So yeah, for him to win wasn't exactly the biggest surprise, but I can't be backing him at 7-1 this week, I have to say.
He looks very short, doesn't he? Yeah. I think he would be maybe the swerve of the week, Ricky Fowler. You've not mentioned each way doubles either yet, Dave, which surprises me. given we're at this.
Well, I think we might just revisit that at the end of the podcast, okay, Dave, and throw in a treble.
And as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, we have one selection apiece in all three events. So give us your pick for the Hero World Challenge.
Yeah, whereas Fowler is the joint favourite, I'm going to go for one of the joint rags at 33-1.
Oh, okay.
Gary Woodland.
Right, okay, that's a shock.
Well, I don't understand why he's considered the least likely winner, or the joint least likely winner in this field, because it's a sort of wide open course with five par fives. I mean, he demolishes the par fives. He's tied ninth in par fives this year already. He was tied seventh in par fives last year, full season's worth. So in theory, this course should suit him. Plays well on Bermuda grass. He's a winner in Florida before. He's won Waste Management Phoenix Open, which has Bermuda greens. And what I was slightly surprised by is his excellent record in the Sony Open, because you think of that as like a bit of a short hitters event. But two other aspects at the Sony are the wind and the Bermuda greens. And Woodland's got a superb record there of late. So I'm just surprised by that. When you add in his recent current form, it's excellent. He had a run of five top 12 finishes, from the BMW to the Shriners Hospitals in Vegas. And when you think, well, what's the improvement down to? He said back a few months ago that he'd started working with Phil Kenyon, the putting coach of the Open Championship, and that had really, really kind of turned it around for him on the green. So I think he's got that in his head. I also read some quotes where he said he had quite a lot of time off in the summer, which he wasn't used to, so he's feeling much fresher at this time of the year than we used to. So second in the CJ Cup, 10th in Vegas, 5th in the CIMB, loads of recent form, a course that suits. 33-1, Dave, I like it.
Yeah, I think it's you made a compelling case there for Gary Woodland at 33-1. I'm looking slightly not as circumspect as you here, Mr. Tindall. I'm going with Tony Finau.
That's a controversial call.
Do you think so? But is that
because of the Bermuda aspect?
Yeah, I do but have that as a slight
hesitation.
That's the
only reason why I wouldn't back him, though.
Yeah, I just think incentive is a big factor in this event. Fowler had plenty of unfinished business going into the tournament last year, and I think Finau will feel the same with questions about his resilience in the heat of battle being asked continually. And I think this just gives him the opportunity to win an event against the best in a limited field without any true pressure. Hasn't played here before, Finau, but he should love it. There are five par fives, as you mentioned, on this layout, and power definitely outweighs accuracy. Finau was actually third in par five scoring last year and ninth in birdie average, which bodes well for the week, and I thought he was worth a few quid at 16-1. But I do understand the slight reservation about Finau on Bermuda.
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually searched for Finau in Florida. Sounds like a sort of tour guide, sort of, you know, sort of Michael Palin job. His record in Florida events, I'll read it out. Not that I want to put you off your bet, but these are his finishes in Florida events dating back from 2018. 57th, miscut, miscut, 28th, 5th, miscut, 43rd, miscut, 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 14th.
Yeah.
So that is... there's something going on there, I think. But you could argue, well, he's come 5th before at the Valspar.
Yeah, it is. I must admit, it is a negative. I thought the price was just about strong enough at 16-1.
Yeah.
I think he's going to love this course, I do. But I admit, Bermuda grass greens are a definite concern with Finau.
You'd think at some point, though, it will tip and he'll learn what to do. Because, I mean, he is a fast learner.
Yeah.
In other aspects of the game, and we used to see, like, Mickelson could never play very well in Florida for a long time, then he sorted it out. So Jason Day used to have a terrible record in Florida, but then he won twice a couple of years ago. So it will turn. It's just hopefully you can anticipate it rather than seeing the evidence before you do that.
Who else did you like this week, Dave?
I thought Patrick Cantlay should play well. Lots of good form. He likes Florida. He likes... Bermuda grass, even though I have to sort of fight the urge that I find him massively dull to watch.
Yeah, well, he's just so slow, that's why.
Yeah, so I'd have to just sort of maybe just look at the result at the end and cheer rather than having to wade my way through it.
I think he's playing in the last group with DeChambeau, so they might not complete all four rounds. it'll be a 5.5 hour first round anyway, that is for certain.
Yeah, and I thought if you wanted a bit of an outside punt as well, I thought the two Swedes might be interesting.
Yeah, I looked at Alex Noren.
Yeah, 33s, and Stenson at 25. Stenson was top 12 in the DP World Tour Championship, where he said he came in with very few expectations and still finished 12th. So, yeah. And he hit 80% of green, so then not much wrong with his game, really. So. Yeah. Again, at his best, he'd be up there, wouldn't he, at the sort of 12-1 mark.
None of the ones at the top of the betting really intrigued you this week, then, Dave?
Well, Fowler we think's too short. Dustin Johnson, I think, I don't know what's. I just sort of don't have much trust in him at the minute.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas has said that he finds chipping around these greens difficult. Tiger looked pretty lacklustre last week. I think he's. Just sort of getting his game ready for 2019 and isn't really on it full-time at the minute. Justin Rose has got a property there, but he sometimes says he gets a bit distracted. Sometimes we think it's an advantage that he's got a property there, but yeah, I think he's got so many friends to wine and dine and everything that
I read that because the crowds are so sparse that you can... Well, I read this obviously the same quotes that you read about Rose, and he said that he can actually pick out faces in the crowd and that disturbs him slightly.
Yeah, I think he prefers to see the crowd as sort of wallpaper, doesn't he? Yeah. It's just some people, but yeah, individually. So who knows? I mean, he's in good enough form to win at 7-1. DeChambeau apparently has got an affiliation with the course as well.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, that's what I read. I think Josh Culp mentioned it. So he's the one I would put up as a... my treble, because he's 10-1. He's won three of his last five starts.
Yeah,
I mean that's daft, isn't it? I don't see why he shouldn't play well on this course either.
Yeah. Okay. Bryson DeChambeau is in the betting at 10-1. Should we wrap up then, Dave?
Yes. Okay.
Give us your player you don't want to win this week.
It might well be Fowler. Fowler was a 16s or something, and that's a bit ambitious.
Yeah. 7-1.
I would be on him, yeah, but not sevens.
Yeah, I think the I'd be kind of annoyed if Adelson De Silva or Cameron John won this week. But the injury concerns about Cameron John put me off him, but he's 80-1, so I might have to have a few quid each way on him. Give us your selections then, Dave. One in each event.
Yeah, so in the Mauritius Open, I'm going to go a point each way on Justin Harding at 40-1. In the Aussie PGA, I'll have a point each way on Scott Hend at 50-1. And in Tiger's event, the Hero World Challenge, I'll have a point each way on Gary Woodland at 33s.
Yeah, I'm going half a point each way, Thomas Aiken at 25s in Mauritius. A point each way, Jordan Zunich at 50-1 in the event in Australia. And the Hero World Challenge, I'm going a point each way, Tony Finau, despite the Bermuda grass green issues that he's had in the past.
Yes.
Tony Finau at 16-1, those reservations put to one side. And you mentioned if you were having like an each way treble, Dave.
Yes, this treble is 604-1, and it involves DeChambeau and the Hero World Challenge. Look out for the each way terms there. Don't be sort of running around your house with your shirt off celebrating when he's actually come fifth, because we're a fifth top four, so yeah. Fifth is no good. So him at 10-1. Dylan Fratelli in Mauritius at 9-1. We're a fifth top six there. And Cameron Smith at 9-2. They're all fairly very, very obvious picks, but yeah, as we've said before on this podcast, this is the time of year when the shorties do tend to do well. So Cameron Smith at 9-2, again, we're a fifth top six in that one. So if those three won, it would be a 604-1 treble.
Very good. Thank you, Dave, for your company.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. You can follow myself and Dave on Twitter as well, at Dave Tyndall Golf and at D Kellner. And make sure you check out all the betting for this week's three events. We've got the Mauritius Open, the Australian PGA Championship, and Tiger's event as well, the Hero World Challenge, on the agenda this week. All the betting available at sports.williamhill.com. And myself and Dave, will we be back next week? I'm just thinking, is the
yes, we've still got European Tour action for a couple more weeks.
We will be back next week with a debrief and to look ahead to the events on the European Tour as well. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and myself and Dave will be back in the not too distant future. If you're having a bet this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.